Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday. Before we get into today's show, I want to go ahead and do a quick shout out for you. I am currently wearing this one-of-a-kind Sports Q sweatshirt that was made from Karis Lau and Sarah Risto. They were the ones that were able to put it together. Thank you very much for giving me this shirt. It's definitely a great privilege to wear it. On today's show, we're going to talk Justin Garcia and the Milwaukee Bucks. Garcia will stop by. He'll break down the Bucks' early season defensive struggles. We'll also have Hunter Bumgard on in the second part of the show to talk about the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. Plus, I'll make my Week 11 NFL predictions. But first, let's begin in Green Bay, shall we? All right, so the Packers dropped to the Pittsburgh Steelers this past Sunday. Final score was 23-19. Yes, 23-19. We have a 23-19. See if you can get that reference. I'm going to have to maybe include that in my next, that's my next sound effect bit. Okay, listen. I thought that Green Bay had a legitimate shot to win this game, and they did. They were in it pretty much all the way until the end of that particular game. It went down to the final play. Most of the games for Green Bay have ended on final possessions this year. Let's just talk about the game as a whole. To me, there are a lot more positives to take away from this game than there were from any of the previous losses before their victory over the Rams last week. Now, if you want to sit here and say that the defense was not good, the run defense was not good. Kenny Pickett didn't do much, but he didn't necessarily need to do much. Jordan Love, a career-high 289 passing yards, two touchdowns, two picks, both of them coming at the end of the game. I've been a very, very big defender of Jordan Love, not because that I feel like that he's a starting quarterback, but I think it's too early to judge him after just 1 year under center. Now, here's one stat that's concerning, though. Jordan Love is currently tied for the NFL lead for most interceptions in this season with 10 with Mac Jones at the Patriots. And Mac Jones has had his issues in New England. I think that's more coaching than that is him. The big concerning stat, the concerning stat is not the fact that he has 10 picks. It's the fact that he has six of them in the fourth quarter. He had one against the Lions when they were, you know, dead in the water of that game. He had two against the Raiders when it went down to the wire. One against the Broncos went down to the wire. And two of them against Pittsburgh. Now, the Pittsburgh ones, the first one was a tip that ended up resulting in a pick. Christian Watson has got to come back for that ball. Now, maybe Jordan Love shouldn't have tried Patrick Peterson because Patrick Peterson is an eight-time Pro Bowler and he's still performing as one of the better corners in the NFL. So if you want to go ahead and pinpoint that one on Love, I think that's unfair. Christian Watson has not played well this season. He simply hasn't. I know he's been hurt. I know that he's been banged up, needless to say. But he has not started to look like the Watson we saw in the second half of last year. The Watson in the second half of last year was quick. He was getting the ball. He was making big plays in the end zone. He's not doing that this year. The running game did produce for the most part. Aaron Jones had a very, very hard time getting going here. I think that's just because that the Steelers do have a good defense. Maybe not necessarily in terms of statistical categories, but they are very, very good in terms of taking the ball away. And they took Green Bay away twice yesterday. A.J. Dillon had a big 40-yard run. That was essentially the big play. Jaden Reed and Romeo Dobbs seem to have began to establish a connection with Love, which is exactly what you want to see. Jordan Love, as of right now, has, I believe, 16 touchdowns and 10 picks. That touchdown number needs to go up, and that interception number needs to go down. If he can do that, I think that he'll be fine in this league. But again, I go back to the run defense. Now, before I dive into the run defense, I'm going to sit here and say that I think that Joe Barry is getting a little bit of a... He is getting blame, and he deserves to blame with how poorly the defense has played, especially on the ground this season. But Green Bay's scoring defense was giving up less than 20 points a game. They still are to this day. They're staying in games. It's not like that they're losing, you know, 27-13 or 31-14 or 35-17. They're losing games by low score, by 4 points or less, and I'll get to that in a second. Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris ran up and down the field on Green Bay. The Steelers had over 200 yards rushing. That is the third time this season Green Bay has given up 200 yards on the ground. They did it to Atlanta, and they did it to Detroit. Detroit's understandable. The Lions are one of the best teams in the league at this moment in time. Probably one of the top five. Giving that up to Atlanta, though, especially with what we've seen from them recently, that's concerning. Now, Pittsburgh, Najee Harris, very good back. Jaylen Warren, I was a fan of his, even though he was undrafted out of Utah State. He was Jordan Love's teammate at Utah State, and he is quick. But you still could not find a way to stop those two when you needed to the most. This is not the day for me to defend Joe Barry, though, today. I think that Joe Barry's pass defense has still been very good. Now, granted, that's because that they want to run the ball consistently. Offenses do when they see Joe Barry's defense. But his pass defense has been good, and his scoring defense has been good. The only thing that's stopping Joe Barry from being successful is the rush defense. Is it enough to keep him around next year? I don't know. Now, Kenny Pickett didn't do much, but he didn't necessarily have to. Through the air. Only 123 passing yards, threw the ball 23 times. A lot of short passes. A lot of fans are upset about that, you know, that non-lateral that ended up being dubbed an incomplete pass. That should have been a lateral, but it wasn't the reason why Green Bay lost this game. That was in the second quarter. They still have plenty of opportunities to come away with wins in that game. Now, if Green Bay does come up with a touchdown after that lateral, maybe we're talking about a different scenario, but I don't know. So I don't think it's fair to put that loss on the officials. Now, I know Green Bay fans are upset about how Green Bay is struggling this year. And you know what? We knew that this was going to be a rebuilding season for the squad. Green Bay has lost six games this year. They're 3-6 now as we're past the halfway point of the season. You know what the thing is, though? Four of them are by 4 points or less. Four! Two of them are by double digits. Now, that was against Detroit and against Minnesota, and the Lions and the Vikings currently sit at the top of the NFC North. It seems like it's going to be a two-horse race from here on out for that division title. The Packers are, and I kid you not, they are, I would consider a missed extra point by Anders, a blocked extra point by Anders Carlson, but that was in the second quarter of the game. You still had a lot of time to make up ground. So the Packers are a missed Younghoe Koo field goal away, a Jordan Love interception, a missed Will Lutz field goal away, and another Jordan Love interception. So two Jordan Love picks and two missed field goals away from being 7-2. Think about that for a second. Younghoe Koo misses a field goal. Will Lutz misses a field goal. Jordan Love makes those throws to Watson in the end zone as time expires. Packers are 7-2, and everyone is going to be sitting here saying, oh my goodness, we have the quarterback of the future. That's how quickly it can change in the NFL. So, yes, the fact that Green Bay's lost six games is disappointing, but they are keeping it close. They are competing and battling every single time they step out on the field, which is exactly what you want from a young team with very few vets. Now, their schedule is tough the rest of the way for the next few games. At the end of the season, it gets a little bit easier, and you can start riling up some wins. They got the Chargers this week. I'm going to be there as a fan with that game. I take my wife to Lambeau Field once a year. This is the weekend I get to do that. It's against the Chargers. The Chargers are a team that have consistently underachieved throughout the season. And they lost to Detroit last week. They're under 500. They're talented, but they're underachieving. And I don't know if that's necessarily coaching, quarterback play, defense, whatever you can look at it. The Chargers do have one of the worst defenses in the NFL, so be on the lookout for Green Bay. I think that they will break the 21-point barrier this week. I think it's entirely possible that they do that. They have to take care of the ball and give it to Aaron Jones, but I think it's possible. After that, they've got Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's going to be very rough. They've got Kansas City at home, which will be a tough game. Then after that, it gets easier. They've got the Giants on Monday night. The Giants have been an absolute mess this year. They have Tommy DeVito, a rookie out of Illinois, starting a quarterback. Then you've got Tampa Bay, who's been up and down this year. They got to win. Yeah, they got to win this past week, but still, they're incredibly talented. Then you go to Carolina. Carolina is one of the worst teams in the league. You go to Minnesota, and then you got Chicago at home. You could still roll off three or four games to end the season and finish with 7 or 8 wins. If they're able to do that, again, that's about meeting expectations. So again, I wanted to see Green Bay get 7 to 8 wins this season. They definitely have the ability to do that. But this next part of the schedule is going to be very, very rough the rest of the way. Taking a look at other NFL scores from this past weekend. Bears over the Panthers, 16-13. Indianapolis over New England, 10-6. Minnesota over New Orleans, 27-19. Josh Dobbs with two wins now in Minnesota. San Francisco absolutely slaughtering Jacksonville, 37-3. Tampa Bay over Tennessee, 20-6. Houston over Cincinnati, 30-27. C.J. Stroud, that man's probably going to be the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL this year. Cleveland over Baltimore, 33-31. Browns get a win but lose to Deshaun Watson for the rest of the season. I'll get into the Steelers-Browns matchup without Watson in my NFL Week 11 predictions. Arizona with Kyler Murray back gets a victory over the Falcons, 25-23. Lions knock off the Chargers in a track meet, 41-38. Seattle with a last-second field goal win over Washington, 29-26. Dallas dropping 49 on the Giants, 49-17. Vegas over the Jets, 16-12. And Denver with an upset win in Buffalo, 26-22. A wild week in Week 10. Week 11 predictions are coming up in the second part of the show. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we will have Bucks radio analyst Justin Garcia on to talk about the Bucks' defensive struggles to the season. And then coming up on the other side, we'll also have John Long on to preview the Hatchet Girls basketball opener in Butternut. That's all coming up next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Attention deer hunters. Bigfoot Stewart Express features a large selection of hunting products for the deer season. Choose from a variety of tree stands, plus deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, lacrosse boots, and your hunting license. Bigfoot Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, also has a nice selection of beer and liquor as you relax after the hunt. Brian and the Bigfoot Stewart Express crew wish you the best of success during the deer hunting season.
Make it a warm holiday season with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilke's LP Gas. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating systems rated by Energy Star. Make sure you're prepared for our Northwoods winter with your new Carrier furnace. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. No matter what your home comfort needs are, you can count on Carrier and Hilke's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilke's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or call Hilke's at 453-3505, 453-3505 for Hilke's LP Gas.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday evening. Our next guest is from Bucks Radio Network here. Studio analyst Justin Garcia is on to talk some Bucks with us. Justin, welcome back to the show, and thank you once again for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and get right into this here. So this Milwaukee team, they've gotten off to a bit of a slow start defensively. They're currently 6-4 with Damian Lillard down on the floor and Adrian Griffin in his first year as coach. Why do you think they're struggling so much defensively?
It's a million-dollar question. There's a number of things that are going into it, but I think if you really pinpoint where the Bucks have struggled most, the big thing that would jump out would be in transition. And I think a big part there is, you know, overall, I think a lot of the struggles we've seen is this is a group that by and large had done things one way for the last 5 years. And, you know, now you're being asked to do things completely differently. There's a lot that goes into that. And I think transition, a big part of it is, Bucks are still kind of stuck in between this, are we a team that crashes the boards for offensive rebounds, or are we a team that gets back on the defensive end in transition? We saw them do both at times under Mike Budenholzer, the first part of his tenure. They were a team that just said, we don't really care about offensive rebounds. We're going to get back in transition. Mm-hmm. The last year plus, they did the opposite, where they were one of the better offensive rebounding teams. And under Adrian Griffin, we've just heard, hey, you got to do one or the other, that either you're sprinting back on defense or you're crashing the boards. And, you know, that ambiguity, it's nice to allow the players the freedom, but I think what we're starting to see is there's a lot of confusion over which one are we supposed to do. There's a couple of instances in the game against the Bulls last night where you saw Chris Middleton and a few other guys going to chase down a long rebound, which they had very little chance of getting. Mm-hmm. And in the result, you got nobody back to defend, and the Bulls are in a transition sequence. So I think that's really the big part and what started with a lot of it. Some of the little stuff we've seen cleaned up with Brooke Lopez playing closer to the basket, that certainly helped their defense.
Yeah.
But transition has been the big issue for this team all season long.
So right now, as we look at this particular team, obviously we knew it was going to be a little bit of a transition period, as you mentioned, Justin, with a new coach, a new superstar as well, Damian Lillard coming over. Let's focus in on Coach Griffin. What have you thought of him in his first couple of weeks as head coach?
Well, it's still very early, but I think what you pick up on is coming in, one of the big things that we had heard was his ability to develop young players. And I think really the biggest example of that would have to be Jimmy Butler and, you know, what he's done since working with Griff in Chicago. And, you know, it was, what, close to 10 years ago already that Jimmy Butler was the first guy that was saying, hey, Adrian Griffin should be a head coach and he should be the guy replacing Tom Thibodeau. But for the Bucks, you look at the minutes, and not only the minutes, but what they've been asked to do for guys like Marjon Beauchamp.
Yes.
And Andre Jackson Jr. is the guy that I think has really popped off the page, even more so than Marjon. Marjon has clearly continued to progress, and I think he's put up the better stats than Andre.
Agreed.
But Andre Jackson Jr. has gotten more and more opportunities. He's probably going to continue to get even more now with the Jay Crowder news.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's done a lot of those little things that this team has really missed. And you think about a guy that played as long as he did collegiately, who won a national championship. In many ways, it reminds you of Dante DiVincenzo and even Malcolm Brogdon. That
sure.
They're tenured guys at the collegiate level, but they have that experience that the onboarding process isn't quite that much. They've played in some high-leverage spots that, you know, stepping into a regular season NBA game, it's not as much of an adjustment as for these guys as we've seen with other rookies.
You know, we're talking here with Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia here on the Sports Q&W JJQ. Justin, obviously, Chris Middleton has been a big question mark. We didn't know how healthy he was going to be to begin the season. To me, he still doesn't look healthy, still on a minutes restriction, playing about 20 minutes a game. Why do you think they're keeping him at that cap?
Well, it's funny because, Adrian Griffin has joked that I wish I had him for 30 to 40 minutes, because I think the big thing we've noticed with Chris, it's still too early to make any type of broad assessments over how he's looked because of those minutes that you pointed to.
Yeah.
But you've really noticed his playmaking and his ability as a facilitator. And even last night against the Bulls, I'm sure every head coach in the league will tell you, you don't forget about a Chris Middleton when he's on the floor.
No, you do not.
It's easy to see at times when you got Giannis and Dame on the court that it's easy to lose track and forget, oh, yeah, Chris Middleton's there too, that we saw him walk into a couple of baskets just by what seemed like the Bulls just, you know, losing track of personnel on the court. And he's really going to benefit from that as the minutes start to increase. But in terms of why they're doing this, you know, we don't know what Chris's knee health is. Only he knows that and the medical staff. But
right.
The big part is you need Chris Middleton for the playoffs.
Yes, you do.
Need him in the regular season. I mean, you'd like to have him for most of it and certainly for more than 20 minutes, but his importance is going to come in April and hopefully May and June. So I think the other part is when you acquired Damian Lillard, it gave you more of a safety net. Even though Dame has not been the offensive guy yet that we thought he would be, it gave you more of a safety net to say, hey, we can really take our time with Chris. Because if this was the same group, you'd still be asking a lot of Chris Middleton offensively, and now that's just not going to be the case.
Again, you mentioned that acquiring Damian Lillard, he's been struggling offensively, shooting 37% from the field. He's still averaging 23 a game, as we're talking here with Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia. Over the last couple of games, Damian Lillard obviously missed. He came back against the Bulls last night, again, still struggled shooting. Why do you think he has struggled so much from the field and from three-point range so far this season?
Well, I think anybody that followed him in Portland would tell you, hey, you know, don't worry, Dame always gets off to a slow start. And by the numbers, that's true, but not to the levels that we've seen the shooting dip so far this
right.
season. And look, as you mentioned, too, it's only 8 games that we've seen him play. But he is a guy that's traditionally been more of a slow starter. Then you factor in the offseason where, you know, he spoke with Chris Haynes and kind of detailed his offseason and what he was not able to do in terms of workouts that he gets in at the team facility that he would typically do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, weeks before the season begins, a week before training camp begins, he all of a sudden has to uproot and play for a new team, and likely not one that he expected to play for until a week or so prior to that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had some stuff that he's going through off the court as well. So I think that's all a big part of the mix. But, you know, we've talked about before, it's going to be a process with this team, and it's going to take time. And I think everybody assumed that was more defensively, that they would need some time to figure this out. It's going to be on both ends of the floor. And, you know, the other thing, too, is this offense was going to be run by Terry Stotts, who Dame has a lot of familiarity with.
Yes.
And had worked with for, what, 9 years in Portland. And a week before the season, that changes, too. Not to say they scrapped everything they were planning on doing, but it is different to not have that guy that really perfected that offense there to run it. So I think it's just a lot of little things that have kind of been contributing to the slow start we've seen from Dame. But I think overall the encouraging part so far is, you know, it's funny, when you look at the efficiency for both Dame and Giannis, I don't think anybody would have guessed this to be the case, but Dame so far has been by far his most efficient when he's driving and attacking
yes.
the basket and scoring around the rim. Giannis has been his most efficient when he's taking mid-range shots around the free throw line, which I think you would have said would probably be the inverse for those two guys.
I would agree.
And you've seen the value of having Dame to not only have a guy that's a closer down the stretch, but the ability to get to the free throw line and make those shots, too. That Giannis is going to continue to rack up fouls on the opponent, and you'll get into the penalty. But we've seen in the past, Bucks haven't had a lot of other guys that can get to the line.
Mm-hmm.
And for Giannis, it's still a work in progress with his shot. But that's not the case with Damian Lillard. So it may not look pretty yet. I think it's going to get there, and this team is eventually going to be probably a top five offense.
Mm-hmm.
But just having that guy that, you know, is on your team down the stretch, it's a much different feeling to have Damian Lillard offensively. And this is no knock than it was to have a Drew Holiday.
Yes, yes, I would agree. And I remember when they made the trade for Damian Lillard in the offseason, you and I talked, I think, about a week after it happened. Both of us were in shock about how big of a move it was to move off of Drew Holiday and bring in a superstar like Lillard, again, to another small market from Portland to Milwaukee, and to have him try and mesh with Giannis. But I think the big thing also is it always takes time to work in a new player, especially one of Damian Lillard's caliber, because right now, as we all know, the Bucks are in a win-now mode, and if Damian Lillard, I know that he is going to get hot from the field. It's just, it's going to happen. I would be very surprised if he shot 37% from the field the rest of the way. But I'm not concerned yet. I would be concerned if we saw these same struggles right at around Christmas time. Would you agree?
That's probably a good timeline. I've always kind of thought it's probably going to take close to half the year for this
okay.
team to look like the team we expect. You know,
mm-hmm.
you go back to 2021, that's about the timeline it was. The final game they played before the All-Star break when Drew Holiday hit the game winner against the Memphis Grizzlies, it was right around that time that team started to feel like, okay, this is kind of what I expected to see. And they have even more change this year than they went through in 2021. Obviously, Dame's
yeah.
a big part of it. You got another starter in Malik Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new part of the team. And, you know, oh, by the way, totally different offense, totally different defense. So it's going to take time for them to look as cohesive as we hoped as a group. But Dame individually, I think that's a good timeline, that if we get to Christmas Day and he's still shooting in the high 30s from the field and in the 20% from three, as we've seen, then it is something that you maybe raise an eyebrow at. And, you know, look, he missed 2 games, too, with a calf issue
mm-hmm.
or hamstring issue. That may be a contributing part to it as well. But I would have to assume, as you pointed to, it's going to take some time, but it'll eventually get there. And you know, the analogy that we used the other day elsewhere was what the Bucks are going through this year. When we say it's going to take time, it's kind of like if you all of a sudden you didn't move, but you have to go to a different school. So you're learning.
That's a good point.
Schedule. You're learning new teachers, right? You got to take a different bus, and you got to figure out, well, what time do I get there? Where do I sit, and all that? And you have this comfort level of, well, I didn't move, so my best friend still lives down the street. I'm going to go hang out with him after class, and we'll catch up. And then, oh, by the way, your best friend and family move. So it's just another thing that's changed, and you feel like, I'm on my own, and I got to figure this out.
Right.
That's kind of where the Bucks are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the last three games, what we've seen from Giannis is there's been a little tentativeness from both Giannis and Dame early in the season.
I think that's accurate.
They're trying to figure out, okay, do you take over here? Do I take over here? And still figuring out that chemistry. I think the last three games, you've seen Giannis just say, okay, we're going to keep figuring this out, but in the interim, I just got to take over and go win us these games.
Again, talking here with Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia here in the Sports QNW JJQ. Justin, final question I have before I let you go. Looking forward, just overall as a team, what would you like to see more from this Bucks squad?
I'd like to see the defense look the defense has gotten better.
And yes, it has.
I think if we go back to, keep taking a step forward. If we go back to the Knicks game, when they didn't go fully to drop, but they put Brook Lopez close into the rim. Bucks had the 15th rated defense in the league since that point. So they've cleaned up a lot of the little things. It's still some of those bigger things like, you know, transition defense and doing a better job rebounding, because that's been a big issue. Against the Magic, we saw it. Against the Knicks in that game they won. It's continued to pile up, even last night against the Bulls. But 15th, you know, it may not be what you're used to, where this team was in the top five every year defensively. 15th I can live with.
Yes.
It's the offense that you got to start to see some more chemistry. And that's the thing that, you know, if you're posting the 15th best defense, you would think, okay, we can get by because we have Giannis and Dame. So to me, I want to see some of that chemistry continue to develop. We saw a lot of off-ball movement the first game or so of the season.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone away. Adrian Griffin talked about it last night, too, that we've been getting stagnant at times. So I'd like to see that clean up, because that'll help out the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you got Giannis and Dame, 15th should be fine. That you figure, okay, we can be in the top five offensively. Maybe we're not great defensively, but we're going to outscore teams.
Again, the Bucks are back in action tonight. They're going to take on the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 6:30 from the Air Canada Center. Justin Garcia, Bucks studio analyst. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Thank you for joining me.
You bet. Anytime.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Thank you very much to Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia for joining me on today's program. And Bucks have their game tonight in Toronto. No Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight. They're going to be taking on the Raptors. Tip-off at 6:30. Coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to chat with Hatch Girls basketball coach John Long, get his thoughts on the team's season upcoming, and also their opener coming up tomorrow night at Butternut. We'll have the broadcast for you here on WJJQ. Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35. Tip-off at 7. Also, 97.3 The Game executive producer Hunter Baumgart will join the show to talk about the Brewers hiring Pat Murphy as their new manager, and I'll make my Week 11 NFL predictions. All that coming up tonight on the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, 37 degrees under a dark, dark night. Time for CBS News.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks.
We want freedom!
We want freedom!
Protesters gathered outside the Chinese consulate in San Francisco today as President Biden held a high-stakes meeting with China's president. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
President Biden says the stakes are high.
Critical global challenges we face, from climate change to counter-narcotics to artificial intelligence, demand our joint efforts.
Through a translator, President Xi agreed the two nations must work together.
Turning their back on each other is not an option. It is unrealistic for one side to remodel the other, and conflict and confrontation has unbearable consequences for both sides.
President Biden later said on X the two leaders made real progress. Still, the FBI says China is the biggest threat to the U.S. Director Christopher Wray was on Capitol Hill.
I've been very consistent in saying that there is no country that presents a broader, more comprehensive threat to our economic security, our national security, our innovation than the Chinese government.
He says the FBI is also dealing with a spike in threats stemming from Israel's war with Hamas. Israeli troops did storm the hospital Hamas has been using as a command center today, but no signs of any hostages. The BBC's Orla Guerin talked with a surgeon there.
He certainly said that he would not be leaving the hospital. He would stay with his patients. He said that all of the medical staff who remain feel the same, but he said they would be willing and happy to be evacuated if they and their patients together could be brought safely to another place.
Fuel trucks are now being allowed into Gaza for the first time since the war started, but IDF is blocking them from reaching hospitals. Get ready to pay up to offload gifts you may not love this holiday season. Retail expert Neil Saunders says most retailers are ditching free returns.
The days when you could just use any retailer and all the returns were free and the consumer had to bear no cost and really not give much consideration to returns has gone.
And you'll want to avoid these dangerous toys.
On the list, King Triton's all-powerful trident from Little Mermaid. It's a three-pronged spear. What could possibly go wrong? They say Orbeez Seeds Rainbow are hot this year, but super dangerous for the little ones because they're tiny little round beads that kids can choke on. Also making the naughty list, the Splat Arbol Dude Perfect Blaster.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah, it's a gun that shoots out water balls. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
SpaceX just got cleared by the FAA to launch its Starship rocket on a second test flight as early as Friday. It's designed for missions to the moon and Mars. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Nissan has a car for everyone, for every driver who wants more, like more adventure when driving on or off-road, more zip when driving around town, and more turbocharged excitement for a rush of adrenaline. At Nissan, more is all they do. From thrilling sports cars, to exciting EVs, to capable pickups and agile sedans, Nissan's diverse lineup can help anyone find something for their more. Find your more at NissanUSA.com. That's NissanUSA.com.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Aw, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walgreens and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
In Britain, signs of a thaw in a chilly royal relationship.
Wanda Dench first welcomed Jamal Hinton into her Mesa, Arizona home for a holiday dinner in 2016.
Jamal, hi.
I got a kale salad.
Well, thank you.
It began with an accidental text Wanda thought she'd sent to her grandson. Jamal, a homeless teenager at the time, received it instead and showed up for turkey and all the trimmings. He's returned every November since. Next week, Wanda will welcome two more strangers. Guests can sign up on Airbnb to eat with Jamal and Wanda, and even overnight at her home. The company will make a donation to Feeding America in their honor. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
A woman in Nigeria just scored a Guinness Book World Record for weaving the longest handmade wig. It's more than 1,100 feet long, which is longer than seven Olympic swimming pools. Officials had to lay it on a highway to measure it. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. John Long will join us on the show after our weather forecast.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, just some scattered high clouds developing, low at 36. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, rather breezy and mild, high close to 60 degrees, south wind 15 to 30 miles an hour. A small chance of a light shower tomorrow night, especially early. Partial clearing late and breezy, low 29. Friday, partly cloudy and cool, high 38. Over the weekend, not too bad. It should be tranquil and dry with partly cloudy to sunny conditions. Low temperatures in the low to mid 20s, high of 44 on Saturday, 41 on Sunday. Monday, the clouds roll in, high 42. Chance of light rain and snow Monday night into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far. Well, now it's time for our Hatchet interview for this week. And hard to believe it, but the winter sports season is finally here. It ended after Paige DeKeep competed very hard at the WIA Division II state meet this past weekend in Waukesha South. Now, with the winter season here, let's go ahead and dive into our first Hatchet interview of the 2023-24 winter campaign. And joining me is Hatchet girls basketball coach, Mr. John Long. John, welcome to the show and thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Alex.
All right, let's go ahead and get right into this here. So, this is, I believe, your third season at the helm, taking over the squad. How does the team look through the first couple of weeks of practice?
It looks good. You know, it helps that we return all the varsity players from last season, no seniors last year. So, obviously, a lot of familiarity with the group coming back. Most of the JV players came back. We had four freshmen, and it's been absolutely a pleasure to work with the girls the last week and a half here. It's a great group of girls.
You know, you mentioned that you brought everyone back. That includes Kiana Vacco, Claire Albert, Freya Allberg, Bryn Balky, Gracie Long. All of these girls are back this season. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is it to build cohesion and chemistry for this squad?
Oh, I think it's huge. Those girls now have been playing together for 3 years. We've been building on each week, improving. The girls have done a nice job. They never fail to put the work in, Alex, and that is going to lead to success, you know, and we've steadily improved the last 3 years, and I think we're ready to take a big jump this year.
Talking here with Hatchet girls basketball coach John Long here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. John, let's go ahead and focus in on Freya Allberg. We saw her come on as a freshman and essentially dominated at times in the paint. What has her development been like in the offseason?
You know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. There were times in each game where she did. She looked like the best player on the floor. She could do what she wanted to. She was just a freshman and didn't always know what she wanted to do. So I think in the offseason, we worked a lot on some different post moves and just the aggression, taking the ball to the basket, as well as passing. You know, we know she's going to get doubled and triple teamed this season on the block. So being able to find her teammates for looks on the outside is going to be key.
So right now, as we look at the Great Northern Conference as well, this is a very tough conference, as we all know. You've got the likes of Lakeland, who went to state last year. They lost a key player to go to Lehigh, but they still return most of their starting lineup. You've got Mosini, who's got a really good young player in Taylan Jerschley. You've got Rhinelander, who's constantly in the mix. What makes competing in this Great Northern Conference tough?
Oh, boy, we're just, you know, the conference is loaded with great players. Like you said, you just hit the nail on the head that, you know, you've got a team like Lakeland that goes deep, deep into the state tournament.
Yep.
You've got a really talented roster in Mosini. You got another really talented young player in Rhinelander everybody's talking about. And then it doesn't really drop off all that much when you talk about Antigo, Medford, yep. Pines plays really hard and, mm-hmm. you know, has been tough for us to deal with. You know, there's no gimmies. There's no easy wins. I mean, we haven't had a conference win in a long time. I'm hoping that we're going to change that this year. But, you know, you go up against those teams night in and night out, you know, it makes you a better basketball team for sure.
And Pines was the team that knocked you out of the postseason last year. You lost all three games to them as well. Two of them were by single digits. So yep. I feel like that you're getting to that length. You just need to find a way to get over the top. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really do feel confident this is the year we are going to get over the top. We've got, I think, an opportunity to win, you know, hopefully multiple conference games and mm-hmm. make some noise this year.
So as we're talking here with Hatchet girls basketball coach John Long here on WJJQ, John, this team won seven games last year. You know, it was a little bit of a whimper because of some of the competition that you had. You turned the ball over a lot in key spots. What are you going to be looking from this team this season?
Yeah, I think the key, like you talked about, in the games where we really struggled, we just had a hard time taking care of the ball. When you turn the ball over, you know, double digits in a lot of nights, you're giving the other team a lot of extra possessions and you're putting a lot of pressure on your defense. We're looking to, you know, really reduce those number of turnovers, obviously. And we're going to change the pace of play. You know, our mentality this season, the last week and a half of practice, has been push the ball, really get up and down. We do well in transition. Now we just have to have that mentality to look for that every time, you know, the team, whether it's a make or a miss, to get the ball down the floor.
So let's go ahead and focus in. Hard to believe that the season opens coming up Thursday. You travel up to Butternut. This is a team that you lost a very, very tough, grinded out kind of matchup with this team last year. This team beat you two times in the last three seasons as well. They got you by just three last year. What can you tell us about this team and what do you need to do to get the victory?
You know, they're a well-coached team. They always are every year. I think that the girls are looking for a little redemption this season. It was a really, really, like you said, a slow, grinded-out kind of game. Their best player went to the free throw line over 20 times. And we could never really get into a rhythm. And, you know, that's something that we feed off of is we push pace, we get rhythm. The girls knock down shots in rhythm. We're really tough to deal with. When you slow it down, and whether it be the whistle or whether it be just the course of the game, that's when we can struggle. We just got to get out to a quick start tomorrow.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up here, John?
I'm just excited to be around this group of girls, the group of coaches, and to see that their growth from year one to this point and to be able to be hopefully a lot more competitive this season. I'm just excited to see what the girls can do.
Yeah, and Tomahawk takes on Butternut tomorrow. We will have the broadcast for you on WJJQ, tip off at 7 o'clock. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth. John Long, thank you very much for joining me. Very excited to see what the season holds.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll go ahead and chat with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game to go over Pat Murphy as a new Brewers manager next. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Sweet, creamy, crunchy, and peanut buttery to satisfy your pie craving with this month's Blizzard Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Pie Blizzard. This limited edition treat mixes creamy, chocolatey Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and crunchy graham cracker pie crust blended into Dairy Queen's smooth world-famous vanilla soft serve. And yes, of course, there's whipped topping. No pie is complete without it. Head to Dairy Queen and try one. Skip the line and order from the DQ app and your Blizzard treat will be waiting when you arrive. Dairy Queen, open with new winter hours, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
The Black Friday sales event is going on now at Brickner Motors in Little Chicago. Get amazing deals on remaining new 2023 models, like 15% off MSRP on new 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee and new 2023 Grand Cherokee L's. Hybrids excluded. Take 10% off MSRP on new 2023 Ram 2500, 3500 and remaining new 2023 Ram 1500s Crew and Quad Cabs. Excludes TRX. New 2024 models are arriving and they do have Black Friday deals like $5,000 off new 2024 Ram 1500 Bighorns. New 2024 Ram 2500s has $3,000 off during commercial truck season. Take $3,500 off a new 2024 Grand Cherokee Limited. Chrysler Capital is offering financing with no payments for 90 days on eligible vehicles. Don't miss the Black Friday sales event at Brickner Motors. Take the short drive to Little Chicago and let our family take care of yours. For qualified credit, see dealer for details.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley. ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407 or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Currently have on the line a surprise guest coming back for another week from 97.3 The Game, executive producer Hunter Baumgard. Hunter, welcome back to the show once again.
Thanks for having me, Alex. Good to be back again.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get right into this here. Last week we talked about Craig Counsell shocking really the whole state and really the whole country, bolting from the Brewers to the Cubs. Well, now the Brewers have their replacement for him. Bench coach Pat Murphy has been promoted to manager. Let me first off by asking, what's your reaction to this?
Yeah, I think it's a hire that was kind of expected in some ways. I think this is not a surprising hire. It's not like they went out and grabbed someone from out of the organization that maybe we didn't have on our radar, or even if we did have them on our radar, it just wasn't somebody from outside the organization. So I think it's a little bit of a safe move for the Brewers, but what this does, I think, is it's puts them squarely in a transition period, and that's what this was going to be. If Craig Counsell was going to leave, this was going to be a transition period, and I think Murphy's the perfect guy in the respect that you now have a guy who's going to bring some continuity, going to bring some familiarity. I mean, that clubhouse was shook up. They loved Craig Counsell.
Yes.
Almost every player in that clubhouse, and they love Craig Counsell. So with that, you're going to try to have some familiarity here with Pat Murphy, and if you're able to kind of keep that, you know, core intact, meaning kind of just that core of young players and kind of this energy and this feeling in the clubhouse that you had with Counsell, it's not going to be the same. Murphy's not the same manager or coach that Craig Counsell was.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be as similar in probably style as you're going to get, or just familiarity. And to be honest, the wild part, and we can get into this too, but Murphy and Counsell are different. They have different philosophies. So you're not going to see the same philosophy that you saw from Craig Counsell, but I think the familiarity is what they were going for here. And then the promotion, what it sounds like reportedly, that Ricky Weeks is going to be the bench coach, I think
yes.
is maybe the key in all of this.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that, because with Weeks being promoted to the bench coach, essentially working under Pat Murphy, it seems like that Weeks is going to be the manager in waiting for the next couple of years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. And this is where Pat Murphy is kind of going to be the transition manager, if you will, because looking at this next season, you probably trade Burns. You most likely trade Adames, I would think. So if you get rid of those two, you're in a transition anyway. You have the young players. Okay, give Murphy a shot. Murphy's, you know, wanted a chance at an opportunity at a big league job as a manager for a while. The only other time he was a manager in the big leagues was interim basis in San Diego in 2015. So it's not like he has a ton of experience with that, but
right.
He's a fantastic guy. He's, you know, he's been nothing but good to us in the media. He was on our postgame show every week this past season, and he was just great to work with. And the players really like him as well. I mean, he's an old school type of guy, but having Ricky Weeks as the bench coach is going to be kind of, well, sounds like Ricky Weeks might be the guy in a couple of years,
yep.
whether that be, you know, in 2025, 26, 27, who knows how this goes, but it kind of gives the Brewers an out. If Pat Murphy, if they go 10 games under 500, which is a real possibility, if you get rid of Burns, if you get rid of Adames, if you kind of go that route and play all the younger players, you go, you know, 5-10 games under 500, you then have an excuse to kind of get rid of someone, because it's not like they're bringing somebody from outside that is going to expect to try to build something here. I don't know if Murphy could be this manager that builds but isn't there for the top part of this. Like,
right.
Like he could kind of rebuild this thing, and then Ricky Weeks could take over in a couple of years when they're ready to compete. Now, that's a little scary in the fact that Ricky Weeks has no major league managing experience.
No.
He doesn't. I don't think he's managed overall. But they did that with counsel. They brought counsel down from the front office. And where has Ricky Weeks been? Front office. So the Brewers have had a really kind of, they've really had just the same way of doing things where they bring guys in with, like, Craig Counsell, former player, bring him into the organization, then move him to manager, and it worked for Craig Counsell. They're going to hope it works again for Ricky Weeks.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgard from 97.3 The Game is here on the Sports QNW JJQ. Again, Hunter, you brought up the young guys as well, and we saw Brewers rookies get a lot of action last year, specifically Bryce Turang, Sal Frelick in the second half of the season. We had Andrew Monasterio become the starting third baseman. Blake Perkins got some time. Garrett Mitchell, before he got hurt, became a key contributor as well. What do you think this leaves the Brewers future-wise?
Well, I think it leaves them in a good spot. I think you've already kind of started your rebuild, because I think, you know, in a quintessential rebuild, right, you bring up all these young guys, you just have them play. And you trade all your big-name talent to get prospects, and then they grow in the minor leagues. Well, they've been growing this core in the minor leagues for years while competing in the majors, which is something that not every team can do. I mean, heck, the Diamondbacks and Rangers lost 100 games a couple of years before.
Yeah.
And, well, Diamondbacks last year lost 100 games before they came back and they got to the World Series. So I don't think this is where this team is headed. I don't think they're a 100-loss team. What this is probably maybe a 500 team, and depending on how Pat Murphy does and depending on how these young guys flourish, if they're able to be like a Diamondbacks and just all these young guys perform at the same time, they could compete. But it's just about consistency. And this last season, you know, Sal Frelick was great coming out of the gate. Then he kind of tailed off. Bryce Turang was, you know, great in the field, not very good at the plate. So if these guys can make themselves more consistent, I don't know where Monasterio fits in. We'll see if they, you know, get a free agent maybe somewhere. But if they trade Adames, Turang, I would think, moves to short. And then maybe your Monasterio is your second baseman. They also have Tyler Black, who would come up and play third base.
Yeah.
I would think that that's where they go there. So you're going to have a lot of young guys outside of maybe Yelich, and if you get a veteran first baseman or something like that. And heck, Contreras is even young. We think of him as this star player, and he is, but he's also young as well. I'm still learning. So if you can, the great thing is they have this core. And as much as gloom and doom as Brewers fans may be thinking here after the Craig Counsell leaving for the Cubs, they have this core, and they've been working on this core for years.
Yes.
So this core can do what they think can do, like the Ricky Weeks, like the Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, Corey Hart, you know, J.J. Hardy in 08 and 11. If that can be similar here, then, you know, then losing Counsell won't be all that bad, because you're going to have the talent on the field to compete. So do I think that's going to happen this year? I'm not sure, because I think you have to have those young guys, but then supplement it on the pitching side. And I don't know if they're going to necessarily go out and supplement that on the pitching side this year. But if this core gets another year under their belt, this is not going to be a long rebuild.
You know, looking at this particular team, as we're talking here with Hunter Baumgard from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports QNW JJQ. Hunter, we brought up all these young guys. We didn't even bring up Jackson Chourio, who might be Milwaukee's top prospect, at least coming into this season. If Burns and Adames gets traded, do you think they could call Chourio up to the majors next year?
Yeah, it's possible. I think probably, I doubt he makes the opening day roster, but I would think maybe mid-season.
Okay.
Maybe you see him in June or July. I wouldn't be surprised there. And the interesting part there is another outfielder, right? You already have Mitchell, you already have Frelick, you already have Weimer.
Yep.
And that's where I wouldn't be shocked if they get rid of, like, a Weimer. I don't want them to get rid of Frelick or Mitchell.
No.
But if Weimer's traded, if Weimer's thrown into a deal, say with, like, Burns, I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay.
I feel like the ceiling is higher for Frelick and Mitchell. Maybe that's just recency bias. But
sure.
I love Weimer's defense, but I just don't know if he can get it done at the plate. Now, he did go to the minor leagues, and he switched up his batting stance and his swing a little bit. Latter part of the season, so maybe he comes back and he's a different type of player. But you've got, with Yelich out there, and who knows, maybe you move Yelich to first base like you did with Ryan Braun. But you've got such a a bountiful harvest, if you will, of outfielders that I think you're going to want to probably move one of them, and they're not going to trade Chourio, and they're not going to, I wouldn't think they'd trade Mitchell or Frelick.
So no.
Weimer might be the odd man out there.
Which is unfortunate, because Weimer definitely showed flashes last season.
Yeah, he did. And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he's your starting, you know, maybe you have an outfield of Weimer, Frelick, and Mitchell to start the season, and Christian Yelich is at first base or DH every day. So I wouldn't be surprised if Yelich goes that route just because he has had back issues and things like that. His defense did get better last year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably still not so as good as Mitchell, Frelick, and Weimer. But again, it comes down, if Weimer's hitting 200, then I don't know if he can be an everyday guy.
Right.
I mean, same with Frelick and Mitchell, but I just have a feeling that Mitchell and Frelick are going to be able to swing the bat a little better than Joey Weimer. But that's just because what we saw last year. These guys' careers change. Major League Baseball hitting is hard.
Yes, it is.
Mitchell and Frelick could have a worse year this year, and Weimer could be up. So we'll just kind of see how that plays out.
Well, a lot of uncertainty surrounding the Brewers this offseason, Hunter. 97.3 The Game executive producer Hunter Baumgart here on Sports QNW JJQ. The offseason officially begins. We got one big question answered. The next one concerning the future of Corbin Burnes and Willie Adames. Hunter, thank you once again for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Alex. Always a good time.
Absolutely. Pat Murphy hired as the next Brewers manager. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. There's no better time than now to consider new ways to increase your earnings on your money. We have new and competitive CD and money market rate that will help assure your deposits do more. Visit our website at crossbridge.bank for current rates. Whether you have $1,000 or $1 million, are a current customer or new to Crossbridge, we can find the account and product that's right for you. We welcome you to create a purposeful partnership with the only community bank in Lincoln County. Choose a bank that treats you like family, is rooted in the community, and always puts purpose first. Visit us at crossbridge.bank or stop in today.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Lows around 35 tonight under partly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, high of 61. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night, 26, cloudy. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you just about 6:30. Let's quickly go over the scores from the college football playoff rankings here. Top 25. First off, number 11, Louisville over Virginia, 31-24. Number 23, Tulane over Tulsa, 24-22. Number 3, Michigan knocking off number 10, Penn State, 24-15. Number 8, Alabama over Kentucky, 49-21. Number 16, Kansas upset by Texas Tech, 16-13. Number 21, Arizona over Colorado, 34-21. Number 25, Kansas State over Baylor, 59-25. Number 4, Florida State over Miami, 27-20. Number 14, Missouri, an impressive win over Tennessee, 36-7. Number 5, Washington knocking off Utah. Number 18 in the country, 35-28. Number 22, Iowa shuts out Rutgers, 22-0. Number 15, Oklahoma State absolutely slaughtered by UCF, 45-3.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number 12, Oregon State over Stanford, 62-7. Number 17, Oklahoma over West Virginia, 59-20. Number 2, Georgia knocking off number 9, Ole Miss, 52-17 in resounding fashion.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not. Number 19, LSU over Florida, 52-35. Number 7, Texas over TCU, 29-26. Number 1, Ohio State over Michigan State, 38-3. Number 24, North Carolina over Duke, 47-45. And number 6, Oregon over USC, 36-27. College football ranking top 25 playoff matchups. Note to self, get a much, much more sturdier chair for this room. Number 11, Louisville is in Miami. Number 24, Tulane against Florida Atlantic. Number 3, Michigan at Maryland. Number 8, Alabama at home against Chattanooga. Number 14, Oklahoma at BYU. Number 12, Penn State at home against Rutgers. Number 13, Ole Miss has Louisiana Monroe. First top 25 matchup of the day. Are you Number 17, Arizona against number 22, Utah. Number 19, Notre Dame against Wake Forest. Sam Hartman playing against his former team. Another top 20 matchup for you.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 1, Georgia at number 18, Tennessee. Number 24, North Carolina at Clemson. Number 16, Iowa against Illinois. Number 15, Oklahoma State at Houston. Number 2, Ohio State against Minnesota. Number 6, Oregon at Arizona State. Number 4, Florida State against North Alabama. Top 25 matchup for you.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 21, Kansas State at number 25, Kansas. That'll be a good one. But the best game of the day is going to be a top 15 matchup in the Pac-12.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 5, Washington at number 11, Oregon State. That's going to be a good one. Number 9, Missouri against Florida. Number 19, LSU against Georgia State. And number 7, Texas is at Iowa State. That's a look around the college football landscape. Now, let's go ahead and dive in. Let's go ahead and dive in to our Week 11 NFL predictions, shall we? All right, let's go ahead and kick things off with the Thursday night game. First off, the teams that are on bye this week, the Atlanta Falcons, Indianapolis Colts, New England Patriots, and New Orleans Saints. We will not have the Thursday night game for you tomorrow. It's Baltimore and Cincinnati, which is sad because this is going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to this one. This, to me, will determine who will win the AFC North with Pittsburgh and Cleveland the way that they're playing. I'm going to take the Bengals in this one. The Ravens' loss to Cleveland is leaving a bit of a bad taste in my mouth, so I think Cincinnati will avenge Baltimore from their loss earlier in the season. Bengals win by one score. Packers at home against the Chargers. The only way Green Bay wins this game, in my opinion, is to go ahead and muck it up, maybe even outscore the LA Chargers. I know that that's very, very hard to do, but I think Green Bay can pull it off 20-19 in a big upset.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Let's see. Detroit at home against Chicago. Justin Fields back in the lineup. I'm going to take the Lions to win this game. I don't really think it'll be close. I think Fields will make it a little more competitive, but I think the Lions win by 2 scores. Dallas on the road at Carolina. Number 1 overall pick, Bryce Young, definitely struggling in his rookie season. I'm going to take the Cowboys to win this game. It'll be pretty similar, I think, to the Giants game for them last week. 34-17, Dallas over Carolina. Washington at home as they take on the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
But it's not going to be a win for the Giants.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm going to take the Commanders to win 28-14. I don't really think it'll be close. Jacksonville at home against Tennessee. Tennessee looking to bounce back. They've got a new quarterback in it, Will Levis. Jacksonville absolutely getting slaughtered by San Francisco last week. I think that changes. I think that Jacksonville will get the win over Tennessee 27-17. Bit of an intriguing matchup in Cleveland as the Browns take on the Steelers. It was confirmed earlier today that Deshaun Watson is going to be gone for the rest of the season with a shoulder injury. The Steelers, for whatever reason, have rolled off 4 wins in a row by winning close games, one-score games. That has to change at some point. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to get the start for Cleveland. I'm going to stick with the Browns, my original pick. I made this pick before Watson went down with the injury, but I'll go down with the ship. Cleveland over Pittsburgh, 23-20. Miami at home against Las Vegas. This is an intriguing matchup. I do think that the Raiders have overachieved with Antonio Pierce and Aiden O'Connell in their first 2 games. Now they get their true test here. This is also a test for Miami. See if they can beat a team with a .500 record or better at this point in the season. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Miami Dolphins to win this game. I think it'll be a close game. I think the Raiders will definitely put up a fight. Antonio Pierce has them playing well. I think the final score of that game will be 28-21. Houston at home against Arizona. Cardinals were able to get a win with Kyler Murray coming back in the lineup. Houston's really surprised a lot of people with the play of C.J. Stroud. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs this season, but they're definitely going to be a contender. I got them knocking off Arizona 24-21. San Francisco at home against Tampa Bay. This is going to be an intriguing matchup. Baker Mayfield against that San Francisco defense. I think the 49ers will handle their business, though. They were able to get back in the win column, and it helped that they had Deebo Samuel back in the lineup last week at Jacksonville. I think it continues. San Francisco wins 28-17. Seattle at home on the road as they take on the LA Rams. The Rams, not sure if Matt Stafford is going to go. Carson Wentz was just signed to be a backup quarterback for the squad. I think it'll be the Seattle Seahawks knocking off the LA Rams 24-17. I don't think the Rams are going to put up much of a fight. I think it'll be, you know, nip and tuck in the fourth quarter, but that's really it. Buffalo at home as they take on the New York Jets. The Bills have been struggling mightily recently this year, especially against the New York Jets. I think that the Buffalo Bills, they need a win. They are going to have to win, and they have a very tough schedule in the second half of the season. I'm going to go with the Bills in this game. I think it'll be close. The Jets always seem to play close defensive games. That's what you get when you have Zach Wilson at quarterback. I got the Bills beating the Jets, though. I think it'll be by 1 point, 21-20. Sunday night matchup, got an intriguing showdown for you. Denver at home against the Minnesota Vikings. We will have the broadcast of this game for you here on WJJQ. This one is a tough one for me because Josh Dobbs has been playing well, but Denver's won three straight. People forget that. They've won three straight. They beat Green Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo. I think they make it four straight, and I think they knock off the Minnesota Vikings 24-23.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I do consider that bold. And the game of the week is for Monday night. A great primetime game for you. We'll have this broadcast for you on WJJQ. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch. This is going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes. Hurts has been banged up this season, but I think that this is going to be a great game. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, not necessarily similar to the Chiefs-Rams Monday night game that we saw a few years ago, but I still think the Eagles will get the win. It'll be close. The Eagles will lose. I think it'll be close. I think Kansas City gets the win. Let me verify that. Chiefs win over the Eagles 35-34. Those are my NFL Week 11 predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Come on, come on, choose. Have the motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on, come on, choose.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is on the way. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with a qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
cold weather season is here, so make sure your vehicle is as dependable as your car dealer. For 39 years, Gary at the Auto House has been getting generations of his customers ready for winter driving with quality vehicles, and right now is a great time to stop at the Auto House at Tomahawk and check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from, and if you don't see your car on the lot, just ask Gary and he'll do his best to find the vehicle that you're looking for. The Auto House in Tomahawk features an ASE-certified technician if your vehicle needs repair work. And remember, if you ever need a rental vehicle, the Auto House rents vehicles too, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House is on North 4th Street in Tomahawk and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. That's the Auto House, North 4th in Tomahawk.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Just about ready to wrap things up. Before we go, we're going to go over some local events here for you. Again, Hatchet Girls Basketball begins their season tomorrow night at Butternut. Fairburn Orthodontics pregame show is at 6:35. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth. Meanwhile, take a look at girls' basketball results from this past week. New London knocked off Mosinee 61-42. Upcoming Great Northern Conference girls' basketball games. Hard to believe the winter season begins Thursday night. In addition to Tomahawk at Butternut, Antigo's in Clintonville, Crandon at Rhinelander, and Medford at Hayward. Great Northern Conference girls' basketball games for Friday through Monday. Mosinee's in Lake Mills, Lakeland's in Wanakee on Saturday, and Rice Lake is in Rhinelander on Monday. And then girls' basketball and boys' basketball in action on Tuesday. On Tuesday, Lakeland takes on Shawano, Three Lakes at Northland Pines, Antigo against Wittenberg, Burnhamwood, Medford against Chippewa Falls, and Tomahawk that night will be in Bloomer. Great Northern Conference teams opening play on Tuesday for boys basketball. Shawano is in Lakeland, Crandon in Rhinelander, and Three Lakes is in Northland Pines. Also, the hockey season will begin on Tuesday. On Saturday, I should say, with Waupaca. Their first game will be against Homestead. On Tuesday, Shawano is in Rhinelander. Appleton United will be in Mosinee. Waupaca will be at Merrill East on Tuesday. DC Everest at Northland Pines. Lakeland at Pacelli. And Medford is in Marshfield. Tomahawk hockey begins their season next weekend right after Thanksgiving as they travel to Amory for their tournament. Well, thank you once again for joining us here on the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Be sure to tune in next week. I hope you have a great week and a sport-tacular day. Hey-ya!
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.